So I want you to imagine a nurse, right? Someone who works in the pediatric ward of this massive multi-city hospital network.
Okay, setting the scene.
Yeah. And she does great work. And after a few years, she actually gets promoted into hospital administration.
Which is great for her.
Exactly. Great career move. So she moves to a completely different building, she gets a brand new title, and her IT department, they give her access to all the financial and administrative databases she needs for her new role.
Makes perfect sense.
Right. But here's the catch. What nobody realizes is that her original ID badge, like her digital profile on the network, it still quietly grants her full access to the medical records of every single child in that pediatric ward.
Oh, wow.
She
Yeah.
doesn't need that access anymore, obviously, but she still has the keys.
Which, I mean, that is an absolute nightmare scenario for any chief information security officer.
It is a hacker's ultimate dream. I mean, if
Ugh.
someone compromises her account today, they don't just get the administrative financial file.
Yeah, they get everything.
They get years of pediatric health data that she shouldn't even have access to anymore. So today's deep dive is really all about how major corporations are desperately trying to solve this exact problem.
And it is a massive problem.
It really is. And we actually got our hands on this totally fascinating document. It's a 2026 syllabus and training guide from an institute called SailPoint Masters, which is based out of Hyderabad, India.
Yeah, that document was quite a find.
Seriously. And we are going to use this single, just incredibly detailed curriculum as a roadmap, basically, to understand one of the fastest growing and honestly most critical domains in modern cybersecurity, which is identity and access management, or IAM.
Right, I am.
So, okay, let's unpack this. Because when I think of cybersecurity, my brain immediately goes to, hackers in dark
The
room.
guys in the hoodies.
Exactly. Guys in hoodies trying to breach firewalls. But this syllabus points to a totally different reality.
It does, because, well, the whole concept of a firewall in the traditional sense, it's almost an antique in the modern enterprise.
Wait, really? An antique?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, in our digital-first world, that physical perimeter, the idea that your data just sits safely inside a corporate office building, it just doesn't exist anymore.
Right, because of remote work and stuff.
Exactly. Employees are working from home, they're logging into servers hosted halfway across the globe, and they're using third-party cloud applications all day. The perimeter has completely evaporated.
That is wild to think about.
So identity is really the only security perimeter left. Understanding how the people at places like SailPoint Masters are being trained, it actually gives you a direct look at how your own personal data, like your banking details, your health records, is actually being guarded by these major corporations.
Okay, so to really understand how this works, I feel like we need to look at the geographical hustle driving this whole industry.
Oh, absolutely.
Because this training institute, SailPoint Masters, it's located in Hyderabad. Specifically, it says it's on the third floor of the Dr. Atmaram Estates, right near this really bustling metro
The
station.
JNTU metro station, yeah.
Yeah, that's the one. So my question is, why is there a specialized 2026 course dedicated solely to this specific software platform, SailPoint, concentrated right there in Hyderabad? Like, it feels like a very modern-day fortress city,
Well, if we connect this to the bigger picture, Hyderabad has basically cemented itself as one of the largest IT and cybersecurity hubs on the planet. Massive multinational companies and these really huge consulting firms have planted their flags there, and they are just aggressively hunting for people who understand identity governance.
And the syllabus actually explicitly lists the industries fueling this demand, right?
It does. It calls out banking, healthcare, retail, and insurance.
The heavy hitters.
The absolute heaviest hitters. These are the industries that face catastrophic regulatory fines if they mishandle user access.
So they're the ones with the most to lose. But I'm still trying to wrap my head around the core technology shift here. With everyone moving to the cloud and using all these diverse tools, why is identity specifically the thing organizations are scrambling to secure with dedicated platforms like SailPoint?
Right.
Like, if the old firewalls don't work, why not just build better cloud-native firewalls to keep the bad guys out?
Well, think about it this way. A firewall only protects a network boundary. But once an organization moves to the cloud, the network is everywhere.
It's totally decentralized.
Right. If you think about your hospital example from earlier, the threat isn't just someone breaking in from the outside. The threat is an authorized user whose permissions are just a total mess.
Oh, okay.
As those traditional boundaries disappear, authenticating exactly who has access to what is really the only concrete security you can enforce.
So the identity itself becomes the firewall.
Exactly. If a hacker breaches a network but manages to compromise an identity that has zero access to sensitive data, the breach is functionally contained. SailPoint isn't just some glorified password manager. It's the enterprise infrastructure that legally proves to auditors that your data is locked down.
That makes perfect sense. The identity is the firewall. And I guess that takes us organically right into what these future gatekeepers actually have to learn.
And it is a lot.
It is a ton. Looking at the sheer volume of technical plumbing required in this 10-module syllabus, it's intense.
Oh, yeah. Modules 1 and 2 dive right into the fundamentals and the architecture.
Right. But right out of the gate in Module 3, they aren't just logging into a dashboard. They're building the infrastructure completely from scratch.
Yeah, and measurement setup.
They have to install Java. They set up Apache Tomcat web servers. They have to configure MySQL or Oracle databases and learn log analysis. Why do they need to know all of that? I thought SailPoint was just a software application.
Well, an identity platform doesn't exist in a vacuum. It sits at the absolute center of a company's IT environment.
Okay.
So they are setting up MySQL and Oracle because an identity is fundamentally a massive data structure,
A data structure, meaning.
meaning it's a giant table of attributes, roles, and permissions. They have to understand exactly how that data is stored and retrieved.
So the database is essentially the memory of the system.
Yes, perfectly put. And they are setting up Apache Tomcat because Tomcat is the web server environment that actually hosts the SailPoint application. It's the engine.
Oh, I see.
In a real enterprise environment, if a bank's identity system suddenly crashes, the IAM engineer can't just throw their hands up and call tech support.
Right, they're the ones supposed to fix it.
Exactly. They have to know how the software interacts with the hardware, the web servers, and the databases it relies on to even begin troubleshooting the issue.
Which brings us to Module 5. And this is the core concept of this entire training, something the syllabus calls the joiner, mover, leaver process.
Yes, the JML lifecycle.
Right. This is the automation of giving and taking away access. And I was thinking about how to visualize this for you, the listener. And it feels a lot like managing a highly exclusive VIP club.
Okay, I like where you're going with
Right.
this.
So the joiner is the brand new employee. They walk up to the club, the bouncer checks their ID, they get their basic wristband, and they can get in the front door.
That's the provisioning phase. They get their email account, their basic internet access, just the essentials to do their job on day one.
Right. Then you have the mover. This is someone who gets promoted or changes departments. So they get their wristband upgraded, and now they have access to the VIP room upstairs.
Yep.
And finally, the leaver is someone who quits or gets fired. Their wristband is immediately cut off at the door, and they are escorted out. It sounds like a great system, but I have to ask, is this really just a fancy automated way of handing out digital wristbands? Like, is there a deeper level of complexity here? It feels like something a basic IT help desk could handle.
What's fascinating here is that the complexity actually comes from scale and human error. The mover scenario is actually where the most devastating corporate data breaches originate.
Wait, really? The movers.
Oh, absolutely. It's almost entirely a governance problem, not a technical password problem. Let's go back to your nurse in the pediatric ward.
Okay.
When she moves to hospital administration, the IT help desk is very quick to give her the new administrative access because her new boss is demanding she start work immediately.
Oh, right. The squeaky wheel gets the grease.
Exactly. But in systems without an automated governance platform like SailPoint, nobody remembers to revoke her old pediatric access.
Because nobody's complaining about it.
Precisely. The old boss doesn't care because she doesn't work there anymore, and the new boss doesn't even know she had it. Fast forward a few years, she's moved departments 4 times, and she has accumulated the access rights of 5 completely different roles.
No.
In the cybersecurity industry, they call this access creep.
Access creep. Because she just slowly creeps up and accumulates keys to rooms she never even visits anymore.
And if her account gets compromised, the attacker now has the keys to half the hospital system. Elevating this from basic IT support to enterprise governance means tools like SailPoint are wired to automatically detect that she changed departments in the HR system and instantly revoke any access that violates the hospital's security policies.
Oh, wow. Okay.
If a bank or healthcare provider fails to manage that access creep, they aren't just facing a security risk, they're facing massive regulatory fines from government auditors.
That totally changes how I view Module 6 and 8, which are the governance side of this syllabus. Because a huge chunk of their training is entirely focused on managing policy violations, running compliance certification campaigns, and generating audit reports.
Right.
They aren't just assigning passwords. They're creating legally binding proof that only the correct people have access to sensitive information.
And that legal proof is the entire ballgame for multinational corporations. And it's also why the syllabus places such a heavy emphasis on custom development in Module 7. You'll notice they spend a significant amount of time learning something called bean shell scripting and XML configuration.
Yeah, bean shell scripting. I saw that and was like, that sounds incredibly niche. Why aren't they just using Python or something more universal?
Well, bean shell is actually a scripting language that runs natively within Java. And since SailPoint's Identity IQ platform is built on Java, bean shell allows developers to inject custom business logic directly into the software's brain.
Okay, but why do they need custom business logic in the first place?
The reason this is necessary is that no two massive corporations operate the exact same way.
Ah, right.
A multinational bank's approval workflow for a new system administrator is going to require multiple layers of sign-offs, risk assessments, and compliance checks. But a retail company's workflow for a new store manager is going to look completely different.
That makes total sense.
So students learn bean shell so they can write custom code to basically force this SailPoint software to bend to the specific, tangled legal and business realities of whichever corporation hires them. You can't just buy identity security off the shelf and plug it in. It has to be custom tailored to the company's DNA.
So looking at all this, like bean shell scripting, Apache Comcat servers, Active Directory integration, building MySQL databases, you would absolutely assume this 2026 course is designed exclusively for elite veteran software engineers.
You would certainly think so based on the technical weight of it.
Right. I mean, it sounds like you need a master's degree in computer science just to understand the introductory concepts.
That's intimidating.
But the syllabus reveals a completely different, highly inclusive approach to cybersecurity training. It explicitly details its target audience. And yes, it mentions freshers. And yes, it mentions IT professionals transitioning from other roles like software testing or DevOps.
Which is pretty standard.
Right. But here's where it gets really interesting. It specifically highlights career gap candidates.
Yeah, that stood out to me too.
It states outright that people who have been completely out of the workforce or people from completely non-programming backgrounds can learn this step by step and rebuild their technical careers.
It reflects a fascinating shift in how the cybersecurity industry evaluates talent.
Okay, but I have to push back a little here. Can a 12-week boot camp for someone with zero coding experience truly prepare them to manage identity security for a major healthcare provider? That sounds a lot like marketing hype to me.
I get the skepticism.
The tech industry usually moves at light speed, taking a 2 or 3 year break to, say, raise a child or care for a sick family member. That can often feel like a career death sentence because the tools change so fast.
This raises an important question, and it sounds impossible if you look at it purely as a programming job.
Right.
But identity and access management is ultimately about managing human behavior and organizational process. The curriculum doesn't claim to turn someone into a master software architect in 12 weeks. It claims to make them a job-ready SailPoint professional. And it achieves that by prioritizing practical, messy reality over raw, abstract theory.
So they aren't just reading textbooks about access creep.
Far from it. A massive portion of their training, especially in Module 9, is dedicated entirely to real-time project simulation.
Oh, nice.
They are doing requirement analysis, connector configuration, and workflow design for simulated banking and healthcare environments. They are forced to build the exact enterprise user life cycles, the joiner, mover, lever processes they will face on the job.
Okay, so it's very hands-on.
Very. They are given a fake hospital, told a nurse just moved to administration, and asked to build the automated logic to handle it.
And then, looking at Module 10, they actively translate those simulated projects into the language of hiring managers. Like, the end of the curriculum is heavily focused on interview preparation, scenario-based discussions, and resume support.
It's a very holistic approach.
But I'm still stuck on why a career gap candidate or someone from a totally non-programming background like customer support would be desirable for a role this critical.
Well, think about what it actually takes to govern identity. The person who used to do customer support might actually be the ideal candidate to design a joiner workflow.
Oh, because they've dealt with the users.
Exactly. They have spent years dealing with frustrated users. They know exactly how confusing and broken the onboarding process can be for a brand new employee who just wants to get into their email.
That is so true.
They understand the human element of technology. Or consider someone coming from a software testing background. Their entire professional mindset is geared toward finding loopholes and breaking rules.
Which is exactly what you need.
It is exactly the mindset you want when you are trying to write a compliance policy to stop a hacker.
That is a brilliant point. I mean, pure developers might write beautiful code, but they might not foresee the weird, completely irrational things human employees actually do with their access.
And career gap candidates often bring a level of maturity, patience, and big picture thinking that is crucial for governance.
Because it's not just about speed.
Right. Writing code is fast. Convincing an entire banking division to fundamentally change how they request access to a database, that requires diplomacy and process management.
Yeah, that takes soft skills.
And the training manual is remarkably transparent about this. It actively recommends that students brush up on supplementary skills like basic Linux commands and understanding Microsoft's Active Directory.
Active Directory, that's the Microsoft system that actually holds the master list of all the employee accounts, right?
Yes, exactly. If SailPoint is the brain making the decisions about who should have access, Active Directory is the bouncer at the door actually checking the list and turning the lock.
Got it.
By being transparent that students need to understand the surrounding technologies, the Institute is proving this isn't some magic pill. It's a bridge into the industry. It recognizes that cybersecurity needs diverse thinkers who understand human systems, not just isolated coders.
So summarizing all of this, what does this Hyderabad training manual actually mean for you, the listener, whether you work in tech or just have a bank account? We've covered a ton of ground here.
We really have.
We started with the sheer explosion of cloud computing that turned cities like Hyderabad into these epicenters of cybersecurity demand. We decoded the incredibly dense hands-on structure of a 2026 SailPoint Identity IQ syllabus, digging into everything from Tomcat web servers to bean shell scripting.
The full technical stack.
And through all of that, we uncovered how the industry is rapidly trying to upskill a highly diverse workforce, including people rebooting their careers, to build the new digital perimeters, keeping our data safe.
I think the most important takeaway is that the cybersecurity landscape has matured. It's no longer just about building taller walls. It's about intelligent governance.
Right.
You can see it in how they train. They aren't just memorizing definitions of access creep from a whiteboard. They are building the automated logic to stop it in a simulated hospital. The syllabus preaches that knowledge is only really valuable when applied to real-world chaos.
Which is exactly what modern enterprise security demands. So as you digest all of this, I'm genuinely curious, what detail sticks with you the most? Was it the terrifying reality of access creep? And the idea that an employee who changes departments is actually the biggest security threat in the building?
It's a scary thought.
Or is it the revelation that the highest stakes sector of cybersecurity is actively relying on customer service reps and career gap candidates to bring human logic to digital governance? It really completely shatters that hoodie-wearing hacker stereotype of who gets to be a tech gatekeeper.
It really does highlight a future where process, compliance, and empathy for the end user are just as highly valued as raw technical speed.
Definitely. But I want to leave you with one final thought, something that really pushes the boundaries of everything we've unpacked today.
Okay, let's hear it.
We've spent this entire deep dive talking about how platforms like SailPoint are being implemented to govern human employees. The joiner getting hired, the mover getting promoted, the leaver quitting. It's all based on managing human life cycles.
Right, humans moving around.
But as we accelerate deeper into the late 2020s, what happens when the identities requesting access to those massive corporate databases are no longer human beings? What happens when they are autonomous AI agents?
Oh, that is the absolute next frontier of identity management.
Right, because if an AI agent is tasked by a company to compile a comprehensive financial report, it needs access to the database to do its job. It effectively becomes a joiner.
It needs a wristband.
Exactly. It needs a wristband. But if we are currently running 12-week boot camps in 2026 to train humans how to govern other human beings' access, who or what is going to govern the bots?
That is the million-dollar question.
Because if the physical firewall is completely vaporized and identity is the only perimeter we have left, we are going to have to figure out how to put a digital wristband on an algorithm. And until we figure that out, we're all just hoping the VIP list is secure.